Wednesday to you. This is Bill Bauman. And, you know, if you are here for Bill Bauman, you are in the right place. If you're not, this is not the How to Stop Smoking seminar. I'm so sorry. Anyway, or who knows, this is a magical place. You could stop smoking anyway, but let's not go there. Hello, welcome. Welcome to my heart. Welcome to Donna's heart. Welcome to the heart of everybody, everybody who's here. I want to especially just extend my arms to each and every one of you, those of you who are here right now on the phone, those who are here on the webcast, those who are here later, many of whom, because you can't make it at this particular point, come later. And I just thank you for being here. I just thank you for being you, and I thank you for all that you have given to yourself in your life, just in terms of the way you said yes to what your heart, your soul has moved you to, yes to your truth, yes to whatever is the inspired anything and everything within you. I just feel like, and I think what I'm saying here will make sense as I introduce the topic of our time together here a little bit later. I just feel like I'm so honored to spend my life with you, and I just love serving you, and just feel honoring and celebrating of you all the time. And that's what our time tonight is all about, a really sacred gathering, a whole hour out of a month where we come together and we just open our hearts, open our everything to the blessings, to the grace, to the mystery, to the miraculous, magical nature of creation. And I'll say it two ways. One, we just let all of those blessings pour into us. But to say it another way, we let the blessings that are within us just come alive, just awaken, just sort of find our cells and come alive in our cells and find our bloodstream and kind of move through the bloodstream and our nervous system and glandular system, and just sort of wake us up a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, to the miracle that each of us is. So I really, really welcome you. And tonight, now that I've just done the really, really big intro, I want to get really superficial. Are you ready for a definition? Here's a definition. This is a absolutely superficial, wonderful little thing. So I tap into this little app I have called Fooducate, you know, like where they educate you about food, so Fooducate. And they had a definition of calories there. Calories, you know, those things that are in the foods we eat. So are you ready for the definition of calories? Here it is. Evil creatures that live in your closet and sew your clothes a little tighter every night. There, you always wondered what the definition of calories was. We have it on the authority of Fooducate. So I'm sure you feel so much better knowing that definition at this particular point. So I would like to, first of all, thank Donna. Donna, my precious life mate and the woman who most of you know and love and adore. You love her more than me. In fact, it just hurts, but that's another thing. I'll get to that later. And I would like to ask her to say hi to us, and I think she has something special to say to us. Donna.
Hi. Hello, everyone. We're so glad that you joined us tonight. And, yes, I do have something. Bill and I just had the wonderful privilege of having 10 days off, and we went on the Panama Canal cruise, and that included five different beautiful Caribbean countries. And so tonight, for those of you who are on the computer, I have taken some of those photographs and two of the slides that I bought because they were so beautiful, and that will comprise the slideshow tonight so we could share that wonderful beauty with you. A lot of them are taken in the rainforests of Costa Rica, where we were able to do a aerial tram and just be totally surrounded by this beautiful, beautiful rainforest. So with that, I'll give it back to Bill, and we'll all have a good time. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Donna. And are we ready? I would like to invite all of us to say hi. And I want to thank the few of you who on the web who sent some messages to me beforehand. One person all the way from Europe. And I'm so thrilled about that particular message. And I want to thank Jimmy for reminding me to turn on the recording button, which I managed to do all by myself. I know, I'm proud of myself too. But I'd like to invite all of us to say hi, and not just if you're on the phone, but if you're on the web and if you came here later. Just to, in a minute when I just take us all off of mute, just to love each other, embrace each other, support each other, and be here totally for with each other, to drink in the blessings of everybody else and to open our hearts to bless them. And I have right now...
Love you.
Oh, that was just too good. Oh, I can't stand it. It was so good. Oh, thank you. Hey, I've spent the last hour and a half probably just in this cool, cool place. Not cool temperature-wise necessarily, but I came up with, or we came up with, this topic for our time together. And again, any topic we have is like sort of the sprinkling of whatever that conceptual wisdom is or may be on us as a door opener, as an opening of our heart, an opening of our soul, an opening of our whole being to whatever the blessings that just happen to choose that particular topic, that particular focus. And so I just was thrilled when, probably a couple hours ago at the latest, these three words just popped into my head. What is precious? What is precious? And so if you just kind of hang out with those, with that question for a minute and put the to you after, gee, what is precious to you? And what does it even mean for something to be precious, et cetera? So I'm not inviting us into the philosophical aspects of the question so much. I'm not inviting us into the definitional aspects. But the reason I was so excited is, as some of you who know me might imagine, I've gotten a fair amount of feedback over the years. To my shock, to my utter surprise, the feedback that says I use the word precious a lot. Now, I can't imagine that that's true, but frankly, as I put that under the microscope, it is true. I do use the word precious a lot, and I've tried not to use it just so I don't have to take the abuse of all the feedback, but that doesn't seem to have worked really well for me. So what I did an hour and a half or so ago is I said, well, let me just kind of put that word in my heart, kind of let me feel it, and look at what does that mean to me? Like when I say someone is precious or something is precious, what does that mean to me? How do I mean that? What moves me to put a word like precious on something? And so voila, here we are tonight, face to face with the question, what is precious? And so while I ramble about this with, of course, amazing, life-changing, miraculously transforming, inspiring words, while I do that, what I want to invite each of us to do is sort of find in ourselves what's precious, and find in ourselves the space or the place or the source of what sees something as precious, what knows the preciousness of something, whether that something is in each of us, in yourself, or whether that's in somebody else, or whether it's in the world, or in a circumstance, or in a kind of a condition that's out there, or a process, or a creation, whatever it is, where is that word precious in you, and not just the word, but where is that kind of connection of you to that something where the connection seems to be saying, ah, this is precious. This person, something is precious. This moment is precious. So just kind of be in that space, not so much in the definitional aspects of your mind, but just kind of where your heart is. So let me just kind of ask that question, what do you think is precious? For example, if I said to you, name for us the three most precious somethings in your life. And just kind of notice what drifts up. And it's not a quiz. I won't ask you to write anything down, and you certainly won't be graded for it. You know, who knows whether what you think is precious is more gradable than somebody else anyway. But just notice what comes up, what something is precious, what someone is precious. What would that be? And so I thought, well, let me just take you on a very short, I hope it's short, journey with me of kind of what's precious to me, since I'm the guy that uses the word a lot. And so I thought, well, let me like look at three little aspects of my life. And the first is my morning walk. The second is kind of in my office with the people I see. And the third is just humanness, just what's there in humanness that might be precious or that I feel is precious. So I'm talking here about myself, but hopefully using myself either as a mirror or as a metaphor or as just a something for you to bounce yourself off of, so that while, again, with one ear you listen to me, but with your deeper ear, your better hearing, you listen to what's going on in you about preciousness. So I get up early just about every morning of the week, and I walk outside. I take a long walk to and from the fitness center, and then I spend 3 seconds in the fitness center lifting a 3-pound weight so that I can say I did some exercises. Then I walk back home. Well, something like that. You get the gist. But I walk out there, and in the morning, sometimes in the winter especially, it's very, very dark. Sometimes in the summer, it's dawn. But I often hear the birds, and I hear the chirping of the birds. And if I watch a bird land in a tree or take off from a tree in winged flight, if you will, I watch those wings, and I watch the flight. And especially with the chirp and the presence of the birds, and especially when certain birds kind of come by me where I feel like we have just that brief moment of connection, I find myself thinking or feeling, oh, this is so precious, these precious, precious birds. And then as I walk, I notice the trees and the leaves on the trees, and especially if there's a breeze or a wind, how those branches with their leaves kind of move through, and how they flutter in the wind. And of course, as you have already gathered, something in me is feeling, whether I say it or not, oh, this is so precious. And then the very experience of, ooh, these birds, these trees, and then these plants and these flowers with all their colors and their patterns, and the way all the energy field of life in all of its colors kind of takes different forms in all the different flowers. In all of that, what's happening in me is this relationship, this connection, this sort of wonder-filled celebration of the beauty, the utter beauty, and the, in a sense, the perfection, but let me use the word, the preciousness, just the preciousness of those, and then the preciousness of our meeting, how we just meet in that particular moment. And then I look up at the stars, especially pre-dawn stars, and maybe the clouds and the planets, because there are usually a few fixed planets that are visible in the early morning sky. And I'm in awe, and I just kind of put myself out there in that starry sky and feel the sacredness of creation, and yes, the preciousness of each and every one of those with its own life and its own life force and its own radiance that shoots out into the universe. And all I can do is just feel and experience the preciousness of all of that. And then there's the air that I'm breathing, or the air that the breeze or the wind is blowing on my skin. And then there's the earth on which I'm walking. So this early morning experience for me is like it's like going to church, if you will. It's going to the church of the planet, the church of the earth. And it's a sacred ceremony, which is, of course, extremely, extremely precious. And I could go on and on, but let me, because I want to get to you. So I move into my life, and I come to what I call my office, and Donna's in my office, where just about every day I talk to people. People kind of come to me. They either fly in from somewhere. In fact, did you know in the 6 years that Donna and I have lived in Las Vegas, I've only seen one person from Las Vegas in my office. That is, like, amazing. So nobody here likes me. I don't know what that is. They like Donna a lot, but they don't like me. But that's another question. So much for my pain. Anyway, so I come and I either talk to people in person or on the phone. And when I'm with each of those persons, and some of you may have been some of those, when I'm with each of those persons, I experience deep in me, no matter what our focus is, what the person's issues are, what our conversation is about, in me there's this deep level celebration of, wow, this is a truly precious being. Just a beautiful being. This is a totally unique being. This is a being with amazing energy, like nobody else's energy. This person's light fills this person and blesses this person and gives life to this person in a way that nobody else's light does. Even humanly, this person's personality, whether according to societal judgment or value, whether it's disgusting or beautiful, somehow to me, I just have this deep loving embrace of the preciousness of even this person's personalities. And then if I go deeper into the person's, let's call it problems or issues or pain or even denials or sabotage or blind spots or resistances, all those words we use that describe dynamics, inner dynamics, if you will, those are ones that, again, we have sort of a societal value judgment, a psychological value judgment, even a spiritual sometimes value judgment about that that say, ooh, these are not good. These are things that need to be changed. And even if I'm wrapped up in a ritual of change with someone, whether indirectly by inviting that person to be the agent of change or directly by my taking more charge of that, in myself, deep down, I'm really in love with that pain. I'm in love with those issues, those problems. I'm even in love with those denials or whatever else we might call any kind of internal sabotage. And I think I'm in love because it's all precious, because seen through the eyes of the heart, that facet of you, let me personalize it a little more, you or me or us, that facet, even if it's one that creates pain, one that we don't like, it's very, very precious. And the only reason we don't see it as precious is we've not opened to its deeper truth. So even if I'm engaged in a ritual where we're getting rid of something, we're healing something, we're changing something, I'm in this deep loving embrace of its beauty and its perfection and its preciousness. And I've come to think that one of the reasons that I tend to have as effects of my involvement with people some pretty strong results in terms of whatever gets healed or changed or awakened or transformed is not primarily because of what I do, not even from what I say, but I think because way down deep, every facet of that person, at least I hope this is true, every facet of that person, every itsy-bitsy little bit of pain and conflict and messiness and stuff realizes that I see its truth, the truth that it's special. And so let me just shift to the third focus here so I don't make it too much about me. The third one is humanness. And I think some of you have heard me say I really spent the first half of my life being not a happy camper at all in this human arena. Never felt like it was my turf, if you will, my home. And had a lot of criticalness about it. But somehow, through whatever mechanisms, I've fallen into seeing how precious it is to be human, just to be human, not even make it more than about human beings, but just the privilege of being a human, the process of being a human, the miracle of being a human, to, for example, to be an expression of all that is God and divine and Goddess in a human form. And then to be able to witness and experience and participate in and to even take charge of the ways that that divinity expresses into my job, expresses into maybe a business that I build, expresses into the relationships that I create in my life, expresses into every moment of my connection to everything around. To just being human and being in the creativity of humanness, the love of humanness, and being able to take that creativity and move it and do with it and express with it, to take that love and to be able to give it and receive it and then to mold it and to create with it, to take the body part of being human and know that, wow, I'm in this body is in me, and I'm here to have in this body the entire, my personalized earth in which I get to love this body, nurture this body, create this body, and this body equally nurture me, love me, in a way that in no other facet of creation is that available. And then I just get to be present on this precious earth, this Gaia that loves and feeds and nurtures us, not just through its food, but through its prana and its chi and through its elements of earth, air, fire, and water. And I just, and that's what happens on my morning walk a lot, is I just get into the elemental flow of what this amazing creation is. And all I can say about it all is, wow, isn't that precious? And so I feel like with just those words, I felt really moved to just set the stage for the question, what is precious? I feel like, and I'll go on here in a minute because I jotted a few little notes down, but before I even look at those, I feel like you're precious. And I'd just like to take this moment and take the however many of us, probably over 100 of us here, however many of us are here, just to acknowledge, to recognize, to put into some expressive words the truth. Just the truth. You, I mean, just look at you. You dared and deigned to come here, to put yourself, this vast being that you are, to put yourself in a human form. And you did that with an enormous amount of love and dedication, but equally with an enormous amount of sacrifice. Because I know very, very few people for whom life is totally a bowl of cherries. And so here you are, absolutely precious. Precious in this moment, if I forget the rest of your life, just in this moment, because look at you in relation to us. Just look at what kind of energy is coming from your heart, what kind of blessing is coming from your soul, what kind of nurturing is coming from your light into and for the rest of us and for me and then what's coming into you. It's just as in the two or more are gathered scenario, just when we come together and just are willing to see and hang out in the truth of how beautiful we are and how beautiful everything in us, around us, is. It's just amazing. So here's what I feel like saying. I think you and I, And it's true of all of us, but you and I are in an intimate relationship with everything. I think we could even say, even though there are other ways to say it, that the beauty of being human is that we take that bigger dimensional unity, and in a dualistic space, we have our version of unity, which is intimate relationships. We're in an intimate relationship with our work partners, with our bosses, with our friends. We're in an intimate relationship with our enemies, if we have any of those. An intimate relationship, again, with the earth and with all the plants and the animals and all the life force and with the universe. And everything is personal. Everything is relationship. Everything is intimacy. And it's a relationship that allows us to experience the absolute preciousness of everything and everyone around us, including and maybe especially ourselves. And I wonder right now how that's playing out in you, as you just kind of look at that in yourself and kind of open to where it is in you that preciousness is chosen as the, what do I want to call it, the experience of the moment for X, Y, or Z around you. Of course, many of us miss the preciousness of life. We look at the world and we see its problems, and we look at humanness and ourselves, and we see what's lacking, and we get all wrapped up in the issues and the conflicts, and we kind of skip over. We don't notice the preciousness of it all, and I wonder why that is. And just as I was thinking that earlier in my hour and a half or so preparation for this, hold on, I'm going to take a drink. Just as I was wondering about that, I had a memory of a book I read about 10 years ago. The name of the book is The Heart of the World by Ian Baker, I-A-N, Ian Baker, The Heart of the World. And it's a book about his journey into a place called Pemaco, P-E-M-A-K-O. It's like a legendary Garden of Eden, if you will, in the Garden of Eden in the Judeo-Christian Islam tradition, or like a Shangri-La in the sort of fictional literature of, I think, the 1930s tradition. But it's in Tibet. It's in the south part of Tibet, pretty close to the northern border of India. Pemaco, it's a legendary, magical, mystical place. It's a hidden land, actually. They say it's in the shape of a lotus. And at least when Ian Baker wrote this book, I'm guessing about 10 years ago, he said that there was never any verifiable evidence of anybody who went looking for it who ever came back to tell about it. But there's an interesting thing in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition about Pemaco, and that is that if you can get there simply by being there, spiritual liberation, enlightenment, is conferred upon you instantly. Well, I was, and so what Ian Baker did is he, with a whole bunch of other people, took a trek to find Pemaco. Now, to get to Pemaco, and I know I'm going into great detail here, one has to traverse unforgiving lands. First of all, it's the Himalayas, and you have to go way up high, 11,000, 13,000 feet, trek through snow. Then you go way down low, and you go through swamps and forests and jungles that are filled with poisonous vipers and ravenous mountain lions and the kind of ticks that get under your skin and poison you from within. Am I being a happy camper here? Am I lifting your day? And then you have to go through two or three really, really powerful rivers, some of the most powerful rivers in the world, to get to the next space. In other words, and then there are tribes that like to eat people. So anyway, to get there is a chore. And this may be why nobody's ever come back to tell of it. But here's the example I want to give. Forgive me for the lengthy introduction. But Ian, the author, was there with a group of people on this trek. And there were these two Tibetan Buddhist monks who joined them just about the third or fourth day in. And every now and then in his writing, Ian Baker would say, I kept looking at these. And here we are. We're all, not the two monks, but we're all wrapped up in the toughness of this, and we've got to get through all these obstacles, and everything is a problem, and we're getting cut by the you know, all the thorns and everything else, and everything's a chore, and it's so hard. And these two monks are having the best time. They're laughing about everything. And at one point, I remember there was this, to get over and get all the equipment, the next space, they had to go over this probably 5 foot high big trunk that was over the only path that was there, and there was no other way around it except over it. And everybody was having the hardest time. And he watched these monks just going up, looking at it, thinking this will be so much fun, and one pushing the other up, and they fell down, and then they roll on the ground laughing. In other words, this was a very precious experience. It was a long way around to get to the point, wasn't it? This was a very precious experience to them. And I remember Ian in his book writing, what was it that they have that I don't have? What is it that we're missing somehow lives in them? Somehow, from somewhere in these monks, not just they were having a good time, and they really were, but the whole experience was precious. And so I've got one more example. It's much shorter, I assure you, and that's the example of, in the Christian tradition, St. Francis in Italy in Assisi. Obviously, especially because of how it gets pressed with the current Catholic Pope, St. Francis was really in tune with the beauty, the wonder, the perfection of animals, whether it was his fellow bird or his good friend the ass. That's the animal I'm talking about, not any particular person. and whatever it is, he really celebrated the beauty of, he saw the preciousness of each of these animals. And I think that came from his very simple, non-judgmental, loving heart. So I wonder, what is it about those monks, what is it about St. Francis that allows them to see the preciousness of life, to feel its preciousness, to celebrate its preciousness? And I came up with the thought, gee, I wonder if there's such a thing as a preciousness gene. You know, we talk about the God gene, this gene, that gene. Why not a preciousness gene? What do you think? Do you think it's a good idea? Why don't we maybe this evening find the preciousness gene? We can do it. We're really good at this stuff. So let me invite us to a shared experience, but maybe right after I say this, I want to invite you again back into your own self, your own awareness, your own space. And the words up on the surface, the words are really about, wow, the preciousness of creation, of life, of persons, of animals, of events, of things, of everything. But somehow we experience that from a place way down deep. And where I'm going to get to after a little bit is I'm going to get to the heart. And so I'm playing my card. I'm playing my heart card. That was a bad joke. But I'm leading us to a place, and of course, the place within us that knows the preciousness of everything could live everywhere. I'm picking the heart because I think for most of us, that knowing, that clarity that, wow, you're precious, I'm precious, we're precious, the world is precious, lives in the heart. So here's a shared experience that just maybe might invite that preciousness gene to come forth in a way, in each of us, in a way that comes alive and maybe says, yeah, let me hang out on the front burner a lot more from now on. So I'm going to ask you to picture a couple things. First, just picture what's very, very, very precious to you. Just whatever pops up. It could be a something. It could be a someone. It could be a memory. Whatever it could. It doesn't matter, in a sense, what it is. Just whatever's precious to you, whatever just sort of finds its way through all the possibilities and, boom, right there, says, oh, yeah, do me. So just picture that or be present to that. That's something whose preciousness is so easy to grasp, so easy to experience. And then, just in your own way, gradually remove any distance between you and that. So come closer to whatever or whoever that is. And then maybe kind of pull it closer to your heart, and maybe just as you will, without rushing it, kind of pull it into your heart. Into your heart, and just let your heart, and that's something that's precious to you, just kind of be in the same space, right there in that heart space. And just let yourself experience it right there. In other words, not just from outside of you, but from inside that most precious, precious center of your being called your heart. And then from there, maybe let yourself become aware of how it's loving you, how it's blessing you, how it's nurturing you, just in this particular moment. And then maybe as you become more aware of that, kind of let yourself give it permission to renew you even more, to maybe uplift you, to kind of awaken you or awaken itself in you, just as you share oneness with it. This precious, precious something that is so precious to you is alive. It's alive in your heart, and your heart not only gets it, grasps it, knows it, your heart experiences it, your heart is it. Your heart, from its place of the deepest truth, knowing the deepest truth about everything, your heart from its place of wisdom and being able to make wise distinctions between things, looks at this, experiences this, and says, this is nothing short of totally precious. And then let's just sort of let that slowly kind of leave your heart, if you feel like it. If you want to keep it there forever, keep it. But if you feel like, oh, let it just kind of go out to wherever it wants to go. Notice if it is separating itself out a bit from your heart, notice how right now your heart is still celebrating that, still celebrating its precious nature, still marinating in the blessings of its preciousness, still just loving and being loved by whatever that precious something or someone is. So that's just there. And I'm just, for me, just experiencing the utter beauty of what this has just been. And so in just several seconds, I'm going to invite us to a second kind of, I'll call it experience. And it's this might at least at first be just a slightly different energy. So this time, let's picture something else. Let's picture a something or someone or whatever that's not feeling so precious to you. Maybe something or someone about whom you might have some judgment, some resentment, some fear, some anger, whatever it might be, just where it's just preciousness isn't there. These days I hear conversations that are political that would leave me saying, I'd say whatever this person is talking about is not precious to that person. So if it's that or whatever it may be, it really doesn't matter. But again, here it is. From all the possibilities, it's right there. And let's do some version of the same thing. Again, without being pushy, without forcing anything at all, just gradually come close to that. Don't let the unprecious experience hold you back or hold your heart back. And gradually just sort of pull that into your heart, toward your heart. And again, if it becomes uncomfortable, you can stop at any point. But ideally, we want to just let that come into your heart in the same way that the first experience did. And whenever it gets to and into your heart, again, with no pressure, no force, just notice what your heart's doing with that. Notice how your heart is sort of opening its eyes to this something or someone, and beginning to see, I believe, how precious it is, regardless of what any judgment might have said about it in the past. And then if you feel like it, in the same way, let that something love you in its own way, maybe bless you, maybe nurture you. Let it maybe renew you or uplift you or kind of awaken love in you in a certain way, in any way. And then just kind of check your own sense, your own, not the question so much, but just the possibility of, wow, how you are in relationship to the preciousness of this something. And then, again, just as before, kind of let it, if you feel like it, and if you want to keep it in your heart, that's fine, but let it leave your heart. Let it kind of move back out, or keep it if you'd like. And then, again, notice what's going on in your heart. Notice how probably your heart is still celebrating that preciousness. So I wonder for you, what happened in this second experience? What did your heart do in relation to that something, that someone? My guess is, and I'm glad to be wrong, I'm always glad to be wrong, but my guess is that your heart, in some pretty tangible way, produced that preciousness gene, kind of brought that gene to the fore. And my guess is that you feel more open to, or maybe more inviting of that something, that someone now that you can see its preciousness. Somehow it's taken away perhaps a barrier or a sense of separation that wasn't so good feeling. So here's the question. What is precious? What is precious? And I'd like to venture an answer that I feel is the bottom line truth. And I feel like the real answer, of course, is everything. Literally everything is precious. And the difference between what's precious and not precious is not at all on the outside. It's not about the something or the someone or the circumstance, but it's on the inside. On the inside, within each one of us. And, you know, we have that saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, I think the same thing. Preciousness is in the eye of the beholder. I remember just several days ago having a conversation with someone, and I probably almost had a look of shock on my face when that person, in terms of whatever we were talking about, just came up with a venomous, judgmental, hateful condemnation of that political figure. and I think my shock was that I think I was in the preciousness category in relation to that. So just as beauty is on the outside, I'm sorry, as beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so is preciousness. It's all in here. And I think the implication of that is if we're not experiencing everything and everyone in our lives as precious, then what we need to do is look within ourselves. Take that sort of short trek from our minds, which is where those judgments usually have life, to our hearts. It's a really short place. It's only, I don't know, what, a foot and a half, depending on how tall you are. Just that little journey into our heart where we're created to see preciousness, where we're created to celebrate the preciousness of this life, of this planet, of this humanity, of this energy field in which we swim, this everything that is. And of course, I think that's what those two monks on their trip to Tamako had, that preciousness gene, that heart. Maybe they had spent enough time living in their heart. Certainly Francis of Assisi had done that. And I want to say that certainly you and I have. Think of the hours that you've spent in your heart. One, just in a loving relationship with someone else. Two, just in a way where you've opened your heart in a spiritual way, in an emotional way, in a feeling way, in an expansive way, that you've invited your heart to take charge of yourself. That heart, that sacred heart of yours, is created to know the perfection of you and of everything else. So tonight, it's all about our hearts. And as we know, we're privileged to be created with several lenses through which we peer into the world outside of us, the world in us. One of those lenses, of course, is the conscious mind, the left brain, if you will. That's where we tend to see separateness and our separateness, and then that's where we do those evaluations. Then the second lens is our heart, and that's where the love rules the roost, and where love generates that beautiful preciousness gene, and where we can see the preciousness of everything. And a third lens is our soul that sees the perfection and knows the truth of everything. And a fourth is our whole energy field, all through our chakras and our whole etheric energy field, in which we see our interconnectedness with everybody. And a fifth lens would be our light and our light field, where we see our oneness with everyone. And a fourth, or I'm sorry, I make it a sixth, I think it's the sixth lens that we've got is the lens of our own earth, our own body, our own earthiness, where primally we're connected to the primal juice of life, and we're grateful for that. And just to add one more, a seventh one, we have a lens of divinity, of what we call our God self, where that's the God gene, where our divine nature is there. You know, back to the book of Genesis again, where we're created in the image and likeness of God, which means we've got that Godhood here. So let's specialize. I think I'm concluding my words here. Let's specialize right now on the lens of our heart, maybe for this month, the rest of this month of April, first part of May. Let's specialize on the heart, where everyone is precious. Everything is precious. Every circumstance is precious, even if we have to wrestle with it at a conscious mind level, at a decision-making level, at a solution-finding level. But where we can love it, and we can celebrate it as precious even when we're doing the wrestling match. So whenever you or I might be thinking that something or someone is not precious, let's like sink into our heart and open to our heart and find that preciousness gene and like celebrate its preciousness. Whenever you or I are feeling separate from someone, separate from something, maybe we can just kind of open ourselves to our hearts, because our hearts has no limits to how it reaches out and embraces, because our hearts know the beauty and the preciousness of everything. And whenever you or I maybe are not happy with something or anything about ourselves, maybe we could just go to our heart. Again, take that short journey down from the mind. Open ourselves to our heart and ask our heart for its opinion. Like, just go to the heart and say, I think I'm awful. What do you think? And in every instance, I think you and I will find that bottom line, there's only one discovery, and that is the preciousness of ourselves, the preciousness of everything around us, and the preciousness of all life. And that, to me, is what you and I embody, the preciousness of all life. I know for me, I've been infinitely blessed to have the privilege of seeing your preciousness, and it's over the years changed me dramatically. It's awakened me hugely, and yes, it's all your fault, because you're precious. So with that, thank you so much. I would love to open my eyes. Look at the clock. Yes, we're in good shape. We've got ourselves a good 10 minutes here. I would love to invite anybody who feels like sharing anything, especially that relates to what's precious, whether it's about you personally or just something you want to share that's a bit of your wisdom or whatever, to do that. And the one thing I want to add, which I always do, is I want to invite us not to ask me any question, because I don't want this to turn into a didactic kind of a thing. I don't want to make it primarily about the mind. I want to make it about the way our heart, our shared heart and our individual sacred heart, has chosen this topic as a way of letting our heart bless us, invite us, come alive within us, bring us alive into that quality of love that leaves us not just knowing but experiencing how precious everything is. So in that regard, I am going to, what am I going to do? I'm going to say this to those of you who are on the phone, that if you want to say something, all you need to do is press star two on your phone, and that will give me a little clue that you would like to say something. And then if you happen to be on the web, there's that little box that you can type something into. And if you want me to use your name, feel free to put your name there. And I will, by all means, use your name, and I will read what you're saying. So in the meantime, just wonderful Wendy from New York sending love and blessings. Francine from the D.C. area, glad to be here. This is adorable from Sue. My two kitties are precious. That is wonderful, Sue. Thank you. Someone else, Laura, says, I see a lovely landscape and sunset on the computer. Those would be, of course, the photos that Donna picked out to put on those. Thank you so much for sharing. And it says you are precious. And so that is there. And I'm going to go back and see if anybody, yes, we've got a couple people who would love to say something. So I'm going to invite someone by the name of Wireless Caller. I don't know if Wireless is your first name or Caller is your first name. No, that's a bad joke. It's area code 646, and I am going to unmute you. And you are on the air, as they say. Hi.
Hi, is that me, Bill?
Yes.
Hi, Bill. It's Carolyn.
Oh,
hi,
Carolyn. Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Hello. I just want to give a shout-out to how precious you are and how precious you have served us all and how preciously lucky we've been to have you and just how precious your work has been. And how precious you've been in my life. And while I will miss your voice, you will remain precious in my heart forever. You are precious, precious, precious.
So what's your point? No, that's a bad joke. Wow, thank you. That was totally unexpected. And just my adorable little heart is just jumping up and down with the preciousness of that. And you are so precious. Thank you. That was absolutely delightful. Oh, good. And I am going to call on, hold on a second, I need to get rid of this. I have to walk myself through the technical parts of this. Someone else whose first name is Cell and the last name is Phone. It's area code 828, and I am unmuting you. Hi.
Hey, Bill. This is Jim calling from beautiful Western North Carolina.
Jimmy, Western North Carolina, hello.
Hey, hi, Bill. Well, hey, it's just wonderful to be here sharing with you and everybody else. It's a gorgeous time of the year here, and in Western North Carolina, the leaves are just popping. We have so many beautiful colors in the different trees around here, and I'm just deeply, deeply in love with the beauty of what's going on. But what I want to say about precious to me is this past year, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, what came to me in on my path was, Jim, it's time to learn the language of the heart. And
wow.
You, Bill, having been with you these past 3 years almost, you in large part have helped me to learn the language of the heart and take that very deep into my life and my being every day. And I don't have to tell you how precious that is and how much that means to me. Thank you so much.
Oh, Jim, those words are sensational. Thank you. I just feel like you live the heart and you are the heart, and what a beautiful gift you are to the world and the world around you, because you live so beautifully there. So thank you, Jim. That was just precious, I think is the word.
So, okay. I accept, Bill. Thanks so much.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And then we have one more call, and it is area code 703, and I am unmuting you as we speak. Hi.
Hi, Bill. This is Carol.
Hello, Carol. I thought it might be you.
Yeah. So nice to hear you tonight.
Oh, thank you.
And always, of course. And I agree with the first person that you are profoundly precious.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I started this day out in the sunshine and noticing what a gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, exquisite day it was. And I was walking around in the bliss of it. And then I spent most of the day inside, getting confused, doing odds and ends of different things, and ultimately feeling very discouraged with myself.
Mm.
So when I was listening to you tonight and asking me to find precious, it was hard, and I couldn't really very much get past my mind, even when I called in something I find profoundly precious, thinking of the Pacific Ocean. But when you find me toward the end of the call, even though I was struggling through and feeling not wanting to be with you and not being taking the ride, when you said, "What does my heart think?" all of a sudden it shifted. It was like, oh, I asked what my heart thought, and I got a whole different answer.
Wow.
And a whole different feeling. And what a good thing to know that I will need to, can do with myself going forward when I'm caught in a place that doesn't feel so great, to say, what does my heart think, or what do you think, heart?
Oh, wow. Just totally beautiful. Carol, that's very inspiring. Thank you. Thank you. And I think you're sharing that with us is both an inspiration and an invitation to a lot of us to go to that heart and listen. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And let me just, before I call on this one more person, zip over to the web. And, oh my goodness, lots of them. Donna, lots of wonderful comments on your photos. Another one saying all of us in the whole community are precious. Thank you. And another one, thank you for the reminder that through our hearts we connect to divine soul source and project into life all of creation in its preciousness. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And Adrian says, after about 10 words called love, 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 this is Psalm 131. Lord, my mind is not noisy with desires, and my heart has satisfied its longing. Mm. I do not care about religion or anything that is not you. I have soothed and quieted my soul like a child at its mother's breast. My soul is as peaceful as a child sleeping in its mother's arms. And P.S., I agree totally with Carolyn. That was beautiful, Adrian. Thank you. How very, very precious. And I just also did want to acknowledge that Agnes from Europe, I mentioned it briefly before, wrote this beautiful little message like a whole hour before we met. All the way from a time zone where she's very sleepy. So let me come back, do one more, I have to find the right button, one more from, I believe it is Beth. Am I right, Beth?
Yes.
Okay, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so good, thank
you. Good, good. It's been a lovely hour listening, and I think you know that what is so very precious to me are my two nieces who I've been cultivating their moving, one just graduating from college, one going into college. And as I brought both of them into my heart, what really deepened was how I recognized that what was so precious was watching their discovery, their engagement with the world, their curiosity in themselves and trying to put together what they were interested in and of this generation in particular, where they really want to be of service and how precious that was. And it just, listening to my heart, the meaning of it just unfolded so deeply and beautifully. It was a lovely experience for me. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so thrilled, Beth. Thank you. And I do have a strong sense of the love and adoration that you have for your nieces. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank
You're
you,
welcome,
thank
dear.
You. Uh-huh.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, and everyone, I realize that I have taken us over a couple minutes, and I apologize for that. But I want to really, 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 really thank you. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for your preciousness. And I really mean, if you feel like a project, but it's a totally, totally informal one, to just kind of hang out in your heart every day or visit your heart, whatever the words may be for you, and let that preciousness gene just find its way from your heart into your mind. So thank you. Our next telegathering will be a month from now, Thursday, May the 12th, and I want to click on my magic button and allow us all to say a wonderful goodbye, which is our way of giving love and blessings to each other. And goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.